You're listening to Powder Radio, brought to you by Powder Magazine. I'm Hadley Hammer, and I'm your host of Nausicaä Cast. Tune in each month as I dive into the lives of the leading ladies of the ski world. This week, we have a special guest, Racy Stiegler. Racy is a two-time Olympian, daughter of Olympian himself, Pepe Stiegler. She's been a ski racer her entire life, racing her first World Cup at age 17. Racy is the second best female American slalom skier and has just wrapped up her season with multiple top 10 finishes in the World Cup circuit. Racy's no stranger to success, but she's also no stranger to setbacks either. From multiple season-ending injuries, including 7 surgeries and 5 missed seasons, to losing her funded spot on the U.S. ski team for 1 year, Racy certainly is a fighter and is one of the most positive members of the U.S. ski team. Listen in as we figure out what makes her tick, how she comes back from such setbacks, and how she enjoys a well-rounded life from the starts of the World Cup to the beaches of Maui. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we're recording. I'm here with my best friend who I've convinced to sit down and do this with me, Racy Stiegler. She seems very nervous. She's fidgeting. And we are going to start. Hi, Racy.
Hi.
I don't know. There's a lot of small questions I could ask, and I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because I know you so well, but I thought we would just dive right into the hard stuff. Ooh. Have you ever wanted to just give up?
Giving up is kind of a funny thing for me because I don't have that in my head a lot. Sometimes I find that something got messed up when I was a kid, that, you know, there's all these sad moments in your life, but they never brought me down. And I think in sports and in life and a job and anything, I don't think of it as giving up or that that's even an option. And I don't know if my parents taught me that it wasn't an option to give up, but I sort of feel like there are moments in everyday life, small little things that you realize are so tiny in the big world of things, but also big things that can be something that you've worked for your whole life. And I don't look at it as giving up, but I do look at it as like a very difficult moment in the day or in a situation where you're like, what is going on? Why do I feel this way? Why did I put myself in this position? Who put me in this position? How did I get here? And then trying to figure out what to do about it and make it more of like a kind of a puzzle of part of your life where you're like, okay, what are we going to do in this piece? Are we going to, you know, let it get you down? Or are we going to move on with it? Are we going to realize that maybe if you got into this situation, then it's not the right thing to have been doing? So I guess I just look at it as like the solution is like more of I kind of like having those moments, because then you realize what are you doing in this moment with your life.
So no giving up.
No.
Not an option.
Not an option.
What would you tell others? I mean, you've been in the ski racing industry for so long and have gone through so many different injuries. And for others, maybe it's not as simple as a lot of other people, most other people, giving up is a lot easier for them. Do you have any words of advice for other people?
I guess like for that, like the part of people giving up, and I don't find, maybe that's like what I was trying to explain earlier, is that if you do feel like giving up, then maybe it was like the moment that you realized you should be doing something else. Like
that part of the never giving up is just knowing that this is what I want to do, and it's also my passion. So and I work, like I want to work 100% for this thing. And I feel like the giving up can be like a moment in your career or your life for anything where you're like, if I feel this way, then clearly something isn't right. Because you're going to have ups and downs, like, you know, injuries or financial things or contracts, whatever it is that's going on. And your success isn't always going to be like the easiest thing to maneuver. So I think if you're not willing to be in it 100% passion wise and like working at it, that's where you're like, okay, if I got put in the position of giving up, then clearly I need to make some decisions. Like, do I really want this to happen? And that's fine. I think that's, like, maybe the part where people don't realize that it's okay to have all of a sudden realize that you don't care anymore, or that this doesn't mean, like, everything to me anymore, or it does, and you realize you want to put everything into it. So it's kind of a funny, and that's where I think where it just is so easy in my head, because I know I want it, but I can see other people where some part of their career will have changed, and an injury or something going not the way they want it can be like a moment to realize that maybe there are other things in the sport or other things in your life that you want.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot sort of about this idea of how you can almost work too hard at things, and you work so hard that you don't let the natural process happen or things just happen to you. And you always talk about those people where things seem to fall into their lap, but really maybe you're just creating this bubble so that nothing falls into your lap. Do you ever feel like you've been in the part where the work has overwhelmed the possibility of things just happening?
For sure. I think there's moments, I've had it, actually my dad told me the other day, he's like, I think you're doing too much. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, like, our whole life we're like always told, you gotta work, you know, you gotta work harder, you gotta work harder, all these people are working so hard, you gotta work harder than them. And then you have those moments where you're like, I know I'm working harder than all these people that are winning or have the success. You're like, what is going on? And I think that for me, it has been my mental battle of knowing that there are people out there that don't work as hard as you and get way more than you, and figuring out the fine line of what you need. And then also bringing in for me the more spiritual part of it and being like, let this happen, like, let it be, you know, like, maybe you didn't win your whole career, but maybe it was for a different reason, or maybe now you will start to win. And I think kind of looking into yourself and being like, this is not anyone else's life or career, and making sure, like, obviously doing it because you love it, but like, what are your goals, and like, what can you challenge yourself with mentally? Because for me, it's going out there and starting to produce like podiums, having worked this hard and like coming this far, and not just being like, not just being satisfied with the fact that I can keep going and inspire people, but like, I want to be on the podium. So for me, it's like learning how to kind of channel things differently, because it hasn't happened. So how do you change that pattern and make it happen? And it can be like not caring as much, and kind of just, I think it's just changing the patterns that you've created to make it something different, and like having results is, it's a mental battle in our sport.
Yeah, because I think about it like in my own, even in my own skiing, like I think we're very similar, and it's like, oh, well, if I didn't do well, or if my sponsor's cutting my budget or whatever, if I'm angry about a result, my like immediate reaction is to go like go to the gym or go train on my own on the slopes, or like try to go find an air and like perfect hitting it and like do the work part. And it's almost like maybe we're afraid to see what would happen if we didn't, like, we do the work as a crutch in a way, because it's not scared, like, doing work isn't actually, for some people, scary. Like, it's really easy to just be like, oh, I'm just gonna hammer this out and like work really hard at it. But I'm really more afraid of like, what would happen if I like didn't work so hard, or like didn't try to plan out a season, or like let more opportunities come in, or let myself like ski well.
Yeah,
or let yourself win.
Yeah, I think it's creating that flow, because you'll have days where, you know, we have such a routine when we're skiing, and you're like, okay, if you don't get your recovery in, or if you didn't do this lift, then you're for sure not going to, like, next race is going to be a disaster. And in your head, you're like, wait a second, I know I've missed, like, one time I remember not even doing a recovery before my race because I didn't have time, and it being, like, one of the best races of my life. And you're like, okay, clearly, like, you've made it this far and you've worked hard for it. Maybe stopping and not being so hard on yourself for these tiny little things is gonna like release that mental block.
Yeah.
That then will be like, go out and have, like, go out and ski and like create that flow. And I think that's huge. I mean, we've talked about how, like, when you've done something for so long and you don't have the results, that you, everyone's like, well, you can. what, you know, like, you know you can, and you're like, yeah, I know I can, but it happens, so what is wrong?
Yeah. Do you think, and we've talked about this before too, but maybe part of it is that you're such a well-rounded person, like, when you look at your Instagram account or knowing you in your life, we rarely even talk about skiing or what you're doing with skiing, and you have so many other different facets. Your love fashion and surfing and being in the ocean and Hawaii and all these different things, artistic things that are so different from skiing, and you're so well-rounded. So maybe when you lose, it's because you have this wider platform to fall because you have so many other interests that it's maybe not as a big of a deal for then compared to someone whose entire life is ski racing or whatever sport they're doing, where if they mess up and they have no other interest, it becomes catastrophic. Do you think maybe you've become, your well-roundedness and like your good nature make it almost so that you're so good at losing because it's not like it's,
yeah,
I've had catastrophic, yeah, that like maybe it's, you aren't winning because it's okay if you don't.
Well, I think there's two things to this. One is just that topic of being well-rounded. I chose, like, a long time ago, I remember being so fierce about my personal time and how summer times, I grew up in Jackson, I loved it. And I think every kid that grew up in Jackson is obsessed with their home, and we're obsessed with, like, getting home and, like, hiking and biking and being out camping and in the wilderness from the moment the sun comes up till, you know, it goes down. And so every summer I would be like, no, this is what I want to do. Like, I have to go out in the woods. I have to go out with my friends. I have to go dancing till midnight. Like, I have to go do things that I know make me happy and like clear my head. And other people aren't like that in the sport. And so I think figuring that out and knowing the fine line of like what's too much and what's not enough, and like you have to do some summer camps, and then sometimes I've had years with no summer camps, and so that balance, but knowing that I needed other things, has definitely helped me. But I also think that it can deteriorate your competitive drive, but I am so okay with having just an awesome day out on the mountain, whereas I've learned that some of the winners, Ted and Kevin, are two people that I noticed, if they like get second or third or fourth, they are just devastated, intensely pissed. They're just like, you can't even talk to them. And you're like, but you just got second. Like, I don't understand what is going on. And then when they win, it's just a win. It's not even like, sometimes it feels like, of course they're extremely happy with it, and
yeah,
and it was an accomplishment, but it's almost like, okay, that one's out of the way, when's the next one? Whereas for me, if I get fourth or third or second, sometimes I get 15th and it's like the most amazing day ever. And I'm like, am I doing something wrong? Like, I'm having more fun getting tops tens than some people are getting a podium, and I don't find that I'm less competitive. Maybe that is, I am, I don't know what it is. It's kind of a fun thing to think about, but that's where I have learned, like, you need to be hungry for that. Like,
yeah,
I'm not satisfied with eighth place, but I will appreciate, like, a great day out on the hill.
Yeah. It's kind of the yin-yang.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you feel like you are, I guess, in that case and in other cases with your training and the fun parts about your life, that you're misunderstood? And do you struggle with that?
I feel like I've been misunderstood since the day I was born, from my family to the people in the world. I think the easiest way to say it is, if you look in social media, everyone thinks that you're on this ride with, you know, you're just lit, you know, you have the greatest life that anyone could ever have. Obviously, I live in two amazing places. I have an amazing job. I love what I do, and I travel the world. And I choose to only portray that, and I don't find that I need to hide some of the sadder things in my life, but I also don't find that I need to express like how depressed I can be on some days. And so that's always kind of hurt me, because I think people think that you just have all this money and all this time and you're just floating around. And I've had coaches to fans to like people I don't even know criticize me for that. And for me, it doesn't bother me as much, because I am very confident in like what I'm doing, and I'm very like passionate about my my friends and close friends and knowing, and they know, I think they know, I hope you know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what my life is really like. So, and it is really like it's shown. It is an awesome time. I'm having fun all the time. And I think I went through some kind of depressing phases of in high school. And I think I remember graduating high school and being like, I'm done. I'm done with all this. And I'm going to now just always focus on happiness. Happiness is my daily goal. And for me, I think that has just changed my life. And I get super affected by mean things that have been said or vibes or whatever. And I find that you just have to keep moving forward. And I want to only inspire people. And I think that's why I show the adventurous side all the time and try to get people motivated. But I also want them to know that I struggle with probably just as many things, if not more, on the daily. And I don't mind putting bits and pieces of that out there, but I don't like waking up in the morning seeing people talk about some sad thing that's happening when the world is one messed up place and there are way sadder things happening in other parts of the world. So for me, I'm going to just put out the good parts of life.
Yeah. If that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like that's what you've, like, anytime you talk to anyone that's on the US ski team or in the general racing family, that's what you're known for, this like happiness. And I stopped ski racing because it was so negative and very intense, and it's nice to hear that there's, you know, whether it's at the start line or the finish line, that there's someone that's positive and happy. And
I have to be that way. I've never, like, there's so, like we talk about, there's just so many different athletes out there, and there's so many different people, the way they were raised or how, you know, just the modern day, like Michaela Schifrin, for instance, just the focus and drive that comes from her, and that's inspiring in itself. But for me, if I don't have fun out on the hill, I cannot get up in the morning and be excited to like work harder or want it more. And so all these little things on the side, help me get there and help me make it fun and help me be happy. And that's all that I learned. That's like the fuel that gets the fire going, is like happiness.
Mm-hmm. How do you take steps? You talk about happiness as a daily goal. Do you take steps or conscious patterns or things that you do every day that you feel like you're to make it so that you feel your best or are achieving happiness?
I have like a little bit of a overly excitable personality, so I can sometimes go to 150 and then bonk in everything, you know, friends, putting myself out there, like my time management, my energy. And so for me, the happiness was something I worked on for a long time, and now I've sort of figured out obviously what I want to do to be happy and the things that do make me happy. And now it's more managing that, like I don't need to be that excited all the time, because I do crash a lot, and that's happened in skiing, in personal life, and like physically and mentally. So I think right now I'm learning kind of to balance that out. Like, you can have these fun adventures and these fun things, but get the job done and make sure that you're staying healthy and make sure that you do have that alone time, that time to like kind of rebuild what your personal self, and like make sure that you are doing things for you, for your family. And I think that can be like my excitement level is all time high to all time low at points, so it's finding that medium.
I know what you're talking about. Do you set goals for yourself?
I used to set goals all the time, between like season goals, personal goals, life goals, all these things. And I, in the last 3 years, I would say I just stopped goals altogether. I don't even know what happened. I think I got sick of it. I got sick of the idea of not really knowing what my goal is. Like, sometimes, of course, my goal is to win this race, to make it onto this team, to you get older, you're having other goals, you're having, you know, I want to put money here so that you can, you know, buy beautiful land somewhere, those kind of, you know, like there's so many different goals in life. You want to make other people happy, you want to create something with the love of your life, those kind of goals. go through your head all the time. And I just realized, I think that I was trying to, at the end of the season or at the end of not making these goals, I was so bummed out. I'm like, wait a second. But your path can go so differently mm-hmm. at the beginning of when you're making these goals. So for me, it was more like the daily, going back to that balance and thinking of the focus and staying in the now and really just being like, today, kind of today's goal. What's today's goal?
Yeah.
And getting, being like, you know what, today I want to go for a walk and I want to write people back some emails and like, that's a good goal for me. And that's, you know, and I want to go to the gym twice and I want to make sure I gave myself everything I could to come out of that day with having done it 100%. Instead of thinking like, I have to win this or do that, because by November, half the time I broke a leg or something went terribly wrong because I was too excited to get to like, don't think about the end of the season. Think about right now what you can do today to make the end of this season like the best season. And I think it's good for people to have goals. But for me right now, I'm okay with like just the daily now goals and kind of that calmer
present.
Yeah,
I think like, I don't know, I read a book called Do Work the other day. That was some parts I didn't like, but a lot of it was just kind of like, you know, people have these vision boards, which I've definitely done before, these goals or all these things, and it's, you put so much effort just into creating the goal or the vision, and you're like, well, you could have used half that effort to actually just accomplish what you want. Mm-hmm. And so if this thing sparks in your head, like, I want to own this business, or I want to be this kind of skier or win this race, like, okay, do it. Like, yeah. Instead of thinking about it and instead of like creating this vision, just like, okay, do it. Don't put so much effort into the thought. Just get off your butt and put your pants on and
start the day. And I think it's so different forward. With so many people. I think some people need that all of a sudden. They need a goal. They need like a thing that they wake up every morning on the mirror that's like, you're going for this. But for me, I think it's, I make lists, like I made like 500 lists. And once I accomplished one list, it created like an even longer list. And that gave me like more anxiety. So for me, I was like, whoa, let's just like stop making these lists. Like it's going to happen organically. And I want it to happen that way. I want it to just, I'm not sitting around waiting for the things to happen on their own. But I find if you stop stressing about getting it done by tomorrow, by two, or, you know, I've wanted to start companies that you're like, wait, why isn't this happening? Am I not doing enough? Like what's wrong? And then all of a sudden when you're not even thinking about it, something starts mm-hmm. naturally. And I like that part of it. Like not, I can get really revved up about like what you want to get done and like knocking things off the list is like the most unbelievable feeling. You're like, yes, I'm getting things accomplished. And then the next morning you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I have a whole nother thing to do. So I think if you just back to being calm and let things sort of happen, and if you see a moment, really go for it. Like that's when you can be like, yeah, I got this.
Taking the energy.
Yeah.
I think with this podcast I've really tried to avoid the classic girl questions, because I find them to be a little bit annoying. But I wanted to talk a little bit with you just because I think people are inspired by how it is to be a female athlete and dealing with changes of your body and how you've approached that. Like when we were growing up, you were much bigger and the ski team had much bigger girls, and now you live in Maui half the year and clothing is a lot more limited there. And how you go through, if you don't mind talking about like the process of being a girl and wanting to feel sexy and good, and but also being an athlete and wanting to feel strong. And
yeah, I've struggled with it my whole life, so maybe that's why I have such a, maybe I am okay with it more because I have struggled with it from being a much larger child than most kids and like mom feeding me steak and Ensure for breakfast was not helping my situation in middle school. So I think I came straight out of middle school like this man-eating child that could like, I could out-eat my Steven Nyman, who's like 6'5" and body of the gods. So I was like, okay, something is not right. But I did have quite a few injuries, and when you're in the hospital and you've had your body isn't functioning at all, and you do get down to these scary thin weights, which are, you know, not something you planned on, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, it's not about weight anymore. It's about how your body's functioning. Like, I want to be able to walk. I want to be able, my whole body to be like functioning at 100%. And I think now with social media, it's pretty scary how it's in your face all the time. But I do enjoy seeing women out there like Serena Williams, Lindsay Vonn, Beyonce, like women that are totally okay rocking this body that is not small. It's not small. We're not small girls, and not everybody is, and some people really are naturally small, and that's fine. But I think it's a really cool thing to finally be okay in your skin, and it's about being healthy. It's not about being small or big. It's about your size. You were born with your body. There is nothing you can do to, like, no matter how much you want to be a different, because I think every girl will probably always struggle with wanting to be something they see. Mm-hmm. And I think I pride myself on being able to go out there and be like, I'm rocking it. And I think what has actually helped is I have my downs. I've had crazy moments where you get out, you know, out of a ski season where you're eating like 3 plates of pasta a day, to being on Maui with everyone looking amazingly fit and thin and tan, and you're like, oh my God, you're like, I have got to move to Alaska. You're like, this is not going to work out for me. And then you get a tan and you jog a couple days and you play in the water and the salt water and the, you know, couple mangoes later, you're like, oh my God, I'm amazing. And you're like, how did I feel? You know, you didn't lose, you probably are the exact same weight, but it's just about kind of finding that, like, what makes you feel better. And that's what I've, I kind of lost my train of thought on the progression, but I realized that every day, if you don't feel good about yourself, do something that makes you feel good. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. If you want to go shopping and that makes you feel good about your body, do it. If you want to go get a pedicure, if you want to go, like, put a mask on, if you want Botox, like, go do it, because it gives you confidence. And to me, you know, I think it's about feeling good about yourself, not going to the extreme. We don't need, like, a facelift and a peel so you have to, like, hide inside for a month. But go and, you know, like, don't starve yourself. This is your only, your the only body you'll ever have. And I think with injury, I've learned that it's important to be strong. And so if that's a little bit bigger than the average girl, or a lot bigger than the average girl, but you're winning because you gave yourself the chance by working hard and, you know, creating this body that can handle all the forces and skiing. And that I get reminded by the guys every day, you know, they're like, you need to be out there pushing the limit. You need to be stronger. And you're like, you're right. That's the goal. The goal is not to look good. I'm never going to be a toothpick thin girl. So what are you trying to get at? You know, like, yeah, be strong and be okay with it and give that image to other people. Because the more we all are okay in our bodies, the more it, like, women are good together. Like, they do well when we're all feeling good about ourselves and excited and happy. It's not fun to go to a hang out with your girlfriends and they're like, I can't eat this cake. Like, I feel terrible. You know, like, it's depressing. It's, yeah, not fun. I like to go, like, have a cake with my girlfriends and coffee and, like, laugh about it and be okay with it, but go for a hike as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the balance of your body, it's always going to be a struggle for every woman, I think, but it is, there are moments in your life where I think you can find ways to, you know, for me, it's like I go find body scrubs and I scrub my body, put on some lotion, you know, clean the house and, like, do my nails. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how that like worked, but for me it worked. And, like, yeah, I think girls need to find things that work and not be so down on themselves all the time about what, you know, what didn't work. And I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. I think, like, when you think about it, instead of thinking about, like, going back to the thing where, like, you don't need a goal weight, or you don't need a goal, like, I need to look exactly like this. You're like, okay, what are the things that make me the most happiest in my life? Is it going over to my friend's house and eating 6 bowls of pasta and drinking a bunch of wine and giggling all night? Or, like, feeling like I have to be really restricted. And mm-hmm. if I want to do the former, then I have to be okay if I'm, like, a little bit heavier. But those are like those pounds on your body that make you feel like you're living a good life. Because I think people, like, if you want to be really skinny and you're not naturally really, really skinny, which 95% of the population is, you're going to have to, like, work really hard and restrict so much. And at the end of the day, like, I would rather be a little bit bigger and have way more fun than, like, worry. And I think you have to just get to that, make that connection in your brain. Like,
yeah,
it's totally okay. And you're making those choices.
And I think the restriction is holding you back from so much. For me, I'm like, whoa, what are these? I think it's easier actually to watch someone else do it where you're like, this girl looks amazing. How could she possibly want to look any more amazing? Like, she looks great, you know? Like, women are like falling over themselves to look like this, going to every Pilates class in the book to like look like this one girl, and she's downing Dominoes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're like, wait, what am I doing here? Like, maybe she's happy because she's just okay with it, or okay with herself, and she's not spending, like, I think that's the thing of changing your body is, like, why are you doing, like, you have this certain body, make it better, and I think, like, making it better is, like, you want it to last forever, so it's, like, eating healthy, and the minute you start eating healthy and, like, learn a couple things about food and intake and the right types of food for you, you usually end up, like, your body does change naturally to the better.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Back to the real stuff.
Oh boy.
I guess, what do you see yourself doing next?
Oh boy, that's such a funny question. Well, I always working on the empire, I like to say. I would love to have a company. I'd love to own a little, you know, European Swiss chalet bed and breakfast with Hadley. But I actually recently had this epiphany on how, which is, this will be a fun topic to talk about for the next 10 years, how when I was growing up, 30 years old, that was the end of ski racing for every woman. You know, they wanted kids, their bodies were breaking down. I think like 34 was like this wild thing if somebody was still skiing at that age. And Sarah Schlepper is now, I think she's 37 or 38. She has two kids, and she's having some of the best skiing she's been doing in the last 5 years. And I was like, wait a second. I was like, who else is like this? I'm like, swimmers, Nordic skiers. Like, there are sports that are a lot easier to do at a 41-year-old age. I don't think ski racing downhill at 41 is going to be happening. But this swimmer, I'm not sure her name, she is like three kids, and she's 41 and got silver by like a half a second. And I was like, wait a second, like, people probably thought she was nuts, you know? And I'm like, people probably think I'll be nuts, or the people think Sarah's nuts. And I'm like, why do we have this age limit on, I don't know if men feel that way, but for women, why is there an age limit? Where, who came up with this age limit?
Like, yeah, we just put this random restriction on.
Yeah. And so for me, I sit there and I'm like, I have the best doctors in the world that are coming up with the craziest stuff. Like, I might have bionic knees in like 2 years, but if they're changing, like, if medicine is being changed so that you can live longer, feel better, your body can, you know, you can change your body to make it last longer, then why in the world do we still have people asking me at 30, oh, when are you going to retire? And I'm like, this has got to change. So I thought maybe my whole goal in life was to not win multiple gold medals, but to like just change some things up, like in skiing. I mean, I think that it's super inspiring to see anybody do well at any point of their career, but I also think it's pretty cool to see someone like Sarah, who has two children and is still out there doing what she loves and having fun. And I want to be I just want to be out there like every day, as long as my body feels amazing, and my body does feel amazing. So I kind of have that. I'm like, whoa, why don't we test some things out? Like, I couldn't even imagine that. I wake up every day feeling better. So I'm like, why wouldn't you keep
going?
And what is this restriction on? I don't know if it's society and like, it's not really there, or people would never really care, but it is a funny thing to have all of a sudden turned 30 and felt like the best you've felt ever in your life. And finally feel like you're in your own skin, like being really confident with it and being like, well, I don't see myself stopping anytime soon, but it could change, you know.
Yeah,
like, you never know what will happen in a year or two.
What else do you think what are your other frustrations with your sport?
Well, my sport always comes down to back to age. Just how, you know, it is political with, you know, being on the USC team. It's different because you have their qualifications. Those qualifications are for kids half my age. And, you know, I feel like for me, I see a lot of kids that are, the here and now doesn't work in a big company because they're focused on what's happening in 5 years and 10 years and the new talent. And I think that's like the most frustrating thing for me, because I see all these athletes that are so good right now, and if I'm not in the top 25 in the world, I'm not on the team and I don't have a chance. But if I'm in the top 30 in the world, that's better than my entire team. But some person doesn't believe that that's matters, because maybe in 5 years I won't be around, but maybe I will be around, you know. You never know. So I guess that's the weird part of sport, of being like on a restriction for age, but and having that, not this, I try to take that stress out by not worrying about results. But I had 2 years ago where I was 27th in the world and I wasn't on the team, and that was not even a second thought to not having her on the team, but I was the second in the country in my event. Yeah. So that's frustrating. But still second in my country for my event and moved up, so I'm okay with that. But you always wonder, like, how you can change those things a little bit or evolve, like, just evolve or make it a more now. If you put all the money and energy into the athletes right now that are good, what if you gave them extra strength to make it to 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to, like, how do you know some 16-year-old girl is going to be the next Michaela Schifrin or Lindsey Vonn? I don't think you can know that.
Yeah.
I think you can hope and, like, see really good talent, but those girls were out of this world. They were going to get there no matter what.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's just I think every sport probably has a lot of little weird mix.
Politics. <Yeah. laughs> What do you think about... Can you talk a little bit about what your day is like on a race day?
Ooh, on race day. I learned that usually happens after January because it's so dark in December. But I like to get up really early and get out and go for a walk. I just learned that if I just had... I'm not good at rushing because I usually forget, like, my boots or liners or something. And I found that if I didn't get up early enough, I was half asleep for the first run. So I learned, for me, I get up and I go for a walk in the morning. It could be 20 seconds out the door realizing it's too cold. Or, you know, just getting up like 2 hours before I normally would and just move. And, like, on a side note, I learned that some days, I think as athletes, if you don't get enough in the day, you feel like you didn't, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't work hard enough today, or I didn't get enough done. And I realized if you just move your body every day, how amazing it feels. And so that was part of it, is just waking up and going for a walk. And you started your day and you got moving, and it's kind of this peaceful, quiet thing, especially in the winter. And that's how I start it. And then I do a really good warm-up, because I'm older than everyone else and my body needs like an hour of like TheraBand exercises to be able to touch my toes. And then I'm a big eater, so I gotta do that. And I like to, like, really relax and do it. And then kind of from there, it's like a very scheduled thing where you have inspection. I like to get free skiing in, because I did grow up in on a free skiing mountain. So I try to get as much free skiing and feeling with the snow. Like, I like to connect with the snow and how my skis are feeling that day, how my body's feeling that day. And then then it kind of depends on where you are. You need more snacks, and you need to rest. And then sometimes I bring a book. Sometimes I bring coloring things. Sometimes I go and chat with everybody on tour. And then it's just kind of, it's really reading into your personal self for that day and what you need. I have a lot of good Canadian girlfriends that I travel around with, so we usually have some good laughs on the mountain.
What about, say, like, 5 minutes out, and then when you're in the starting gate?
Usually I'm at this many years, 14 years on the World Cup, and still having like panic attacks that I'm gonna miss my start. So I'm usually there a little earlier than I'd like to be, and you're doing a lot of warm-ups. And I'm learning now that maybe I need to do less warm-up and, like, come in a little bit late and do less of a warm-up. So I'm really almost a little tight. I'm just ready because it's such a sprint sport for us.
Yeah.
And you do need a lot of warming up in skiing. But and then visualization, we have a lot of visual stuff. So we do, after you inspect, you memorize that course and you go through it a lot in your head. And I learned Michaela has been... and kind of new on our team with playing the course in your head over perfectly, almost to the exact time, and then being able to take runs on it in your mind, so you can train less that way, and visually your body does the exact same thing reaction wise. Mm-hmm. So practicing that, and what was the other thing?
Right before you're in the
start right gate. Before I like to I actually like to get super revved up and then calm down for like probably 4 minutes before my run. So
what does that look like?
It's like I call it the calm before the storm, and I have this thing, it's weird, but I like to get my body really warmed up so that it is ready to go, and then I can just relax. And I think a lot of people would say they don't like the, like, right before you go because you're so nervous, but I have this, like, obsession with going in there being, like, where you nearly pass out, and you're just, like, staring out over this landscape and being like, oh my God, like, here I am. Like, this is wild. So I have, like, a mental picture of the starting gate, the other side of the valley, because it's usually a valley, of what most all of the races look like. So it's kind of this weird thing I like to do, but I think it calms me down to more of a competitive functioning state because I have gone out of that gate way too fired up, and I usually don't make it very far. So I know my body needs to be at a certain level, but it also, the mental part, the calmness, and I want to enjoy that moment, like, in the gate. It's so fun. You're like, I made it all this way. Oh my God, this is so exciting. So I like to enjoy that part of it. It's almost like having, like, a little, you're like, oh, what's happening? Like, put everything on pause, sort of.
Yeah.
It's funny, all the little, you're like, I don't really, everyone, all the question of all is, what are your superstitions? And I don't feel like you have any, but you do have routine, mm-hmm. especially in ski racing. I don't know.
Yeah. Other people. It's so funny because I was just thinking about it compared to, like, a big mountain comp. It's like, I can't imagine very many people are doing any of that. And half of it's like grabbing the burrito on the way up to the hill, hiking up to the start gate, hoping that you have everything and yeah. dropping in. And I yeah. know some people take it much more. Like, I had a routine. I know a lot of people that have routines mm-hmm. for sure. But it's so funny because, I mean, I think some people that do pretty well just, like, or scarfing down a breakfast burrito on the way. And, like, maybe they partied late
yeah.
the night before. Yeah. It's so interesting.
It is wild.
I think that's what it breaks down to, that, like, 90% of... It really is true that, like, everyone who's showed up is at a fairly similar athletic ability. Mm-hmm. And the difference of who's going to win is in their mind.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's kind of wild.
It's funny. It would be funny to know what people think about, or when you're walking around the start warming up, what all the other girls are thinking about.
Yeah, if they had, like, speech bubbles coming out of their head.
I'm sure, I mean, some of the things that go through my head, I'm like, my God, am I nuts? Like, I'm sure somebody else is thinking this weird stuff, too. But it's fun.
Tell me what it's like, what it was like your first time rock climbing, because you are very, like, Gracie's one of those people that just picks up everything. Mountain biking, like, good luck for anyone, males, females, pros, amateurs, to keep up, like, surfing, all these things. You're so gifted and know your body so well as an athlete. And I took Gracie climbing for the first time, and it was hilarious. What was it like being such an incredible athlete and being in a sport that is so outside of your comfort?
Well, first of all, I think I've, like, tried to get out of climbing with you for, like, 10 years now. One, due to the fact that I think I have a height problem. Like, I have crazy, like, anxiety with heights. Like, I think we've gone on, like, a boulder over water, and I'm, like, hugging it and, like, hyperventilating. So I think, for one, that, and then trusting the rope for me and my head and so many of people being so good at it and naturally good at it that I was like, what am I even doing? This is just not going to be part of my repertoire. And so finally last year, I think I even tried to get out of it when you were like, no, we're going to go climbing. And I was like, no, I think there's something else I can probably find to do. And you're like, nope, get in the car. And I was like, oh gosh, all the way up to like walking up to Rodeo Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walking up to it. I was like, I could probably hitchhike home at this point. But I think the craziest part is how much I actually liked it. Just, I mean, purely the focus part. I think that's maybe one of the other things people misunderstand about me, because I am so excitable and flirtatious and all over the place. I don't think people realize that that's probably why I love ski racing specifically so much, is there's this thing my brain can do that just dives into these little things, and I like latch onto it, and I love the focus of it and like the improvement. And I think windsurfing and climbing have these similar, completely out of my zone of comfort and how when you focus on it and the details, you're like, okay, this is the first step, and then this is the second step, and that is the goals, the natural goals, that you're like, okay, where do we go from here? And I remember the first climb that I did on there, I was like, okay, I made it. The rope didn't snap, and I actually liked it. So I was like, you're like, okay, this is the next one you do. And I was like, yeah, but this one's so challenging, you know, like getting over that. I had to like jump up on the roof. One on the right. Yeah, yeah, the roof. And that was terrifying. And I failed like multiple times, but you're sitting there telling me I can do it. Like, you've got this. And I'm like, okay, if I can do this, like, let's, it's like math to me. I'm like, how do you get this? How do you make this work? And I liked it. I liked being up there and not looking up or down, because once I looked down, I was like, get me off this rock immediately. But when I was just staring at the rock and like where your fingers go and the all the tiny little things in the rock that you're like, no, you hang on to like that little thing, and then you find other little like cracks, and I'm like, whoa, this is actually like fascinating, like right there. I think that's what got me. I was like, there's so much you can do up here. And so it was so cool, and I wanted to go. I want to go again. It's gonna still be just as scary, I think,
yeah,
probably for a long time. And not having any idea how to tie a rope is really something I don't like, because I can't rig a sail either. It's so funny where you. I'm not good at those basics. I can't tune my own skis either. I should probably say that too. So there's a lot of like beginning things that I'm not very good at, but when I get into it, I really get into it.
Yeah.
And I think that, like you said, just any new sport, especially at this age and being good at a lot of things, it's so fun to be back at the beginning of something like climbing or surfing or windsurfing, where you're like, oh my God, I see my opportunity of getting better, and I like this, and I like reading the environment that I'm in, and like being in nature for me is like the most unbelievable thing. I love it. So being outside climbing is so cool, and kind of that challenge and focus is just like one new, more exciting thing that I get to try.
Awesome. Well, do you have any departing words for me or the hundreds or thousands of people listening to this?
Oh gosh, no. Just I do think that the topic that we kind of covered that I really enjoy is being okay in your own skin, whether it's your, you know, body size, food, trying new sports, being completely, like, I have no idea what I'm doing in climbing, and it's mortifying probably, but I like that part of it. And then sometimes you wake up and you do wonder, what am I doing? Is ski racing it? Like, should I stop now? And I think being okay in your own skin is the point. You know, wake up every day and be happy and be stoked to be, you know, inspiring your best friends and having your best friends inspire you and being out there living life. And I think I've just had that from a young age of knowing that we got to live this life, because it's going to be gone before we can even blink and realize it. And, you know, I've had, I think, older people in my life that spent their whole life making money to have this amazing life to live, and then they realize they weren't even living it. And we live in such an amazing place and have been blessed to have opportunity to live, so we got to do it.
But we'll all do it.
Thanks, Reese.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in and listening. You can find other episodes of NausicaaCast on iTunes and PowderMagazine.com. Next week, we'll have Sierra Quitaquit joining me talking about her life balancing between being a model and a professional skier. We hope you tune in next week. Thanks again.